All right, let me jump into the Right Side Way monologue. And let me start with this. I'm going to be on the same topic about Mexico, all right? But serious question. Let me ask you to start this way. Serious question. What if I told you that your neighbor's house was being threatened? Like armed intruders, squatters, vandals, and thieves. You name it. You look out the window and you know immediately there's a threat right next door. What would you do? Would you sit idly by? Would you gawk out the window and take videos on your smartphone? Would you call 911? Would you arm yourself and go next door? I mean, it's an issue that I hope none of you ever have to face. Having your own home violated is more than disconcerting. It's an invasion of privacy. Watching it happen across the street is also one of those things where you have to take a measure of yourself and decide if you're going to get involved. It takes away like a sense of security. But what if I told you in that same analogy, that rhetorical question about what would you do if your neighbor was being attacked? What if I told you that it was the government policies that was actually incentivizing people to go into your neighbor's house and do as they please? What if the neighbor's crisis was because the mayor of the city had invited armed intruders, squatters, vandals, and thieves to come to your town? What if the mayor had said to the armed intruders, squatters, vandals, and thieves that, quote, our house is your house, mi casa su casa, and they took him at his word, literally, and came to your neighborhood with ill intent, but with an invitation? Sounds far-fetched? It's not. It's exactly what's been happening right now on our southern border of the United States. It's exactly what has been going on for the past 4 years of the Biden administration. An incursion by people who have literally been told that our house is your house, mi casa su casa, so come on in. I've watched videos from ranchers on the southern border who can't take their trash out now without being armed. Communities on our southern border have been devastated by illegal immigration. Crime across the country tied to illegal aliens is a daily news headline, and unfortunately, too many people are getting numb to it. It's heartbreaking. But they were invited. And despite all that we've pushed for, despite the obvious impact that illegal immigration has had on the recent red wave elections for Trump and others around the nation, the fact remains that some elected officials just still don't get it. Like the mayor of Boulder, Colorado, who just said that he would gladly go to jail if necessary to resist Trump's incoming border security policies. Multiple blue state governors have said they don't intend to cooperate and they will continue their sanctuary policies to include the border state of Arizona via liberal Governor Katie Hobbs. The City Council of Los Angeles, they just voted last week to declare themselves a sanctuary city. So armed intruders, squatters, vandals, and thieves still have an open invitation from much of the elected Democrat leadership. And by the way, these are our neighbors. Other states and cities, those are the neighbors of our states and cities, and they are continuing to face this crisis. And a change is not just needed, it is imperative. It's desperate in some places. But here's the thing. In the past, it was just the opposite. The nation did not sit idly by. It was a question of national security, national sovereignty. It was neighbor watching out for neighbor. It was states watching out for states. And Alabama has been in the mix many times. So you may have heard me mention before about the 167th Infantry, a legacy unit with deep tradition and long history right here in our own Alabama National Guard. One of the highlights of my 30 years of uniformed service was to serve as the battalion commander of the 167th Infantry, known throughout much of its history as the legendary 4th Alabama. That unit has more battle streamers on its guidon than most any unit in the entire U.S. Army. It has service dating back to 1836. It's got battle scars from every war our nation has fought for the past 185 years. There's a statue built on a battlefield in France near a place called Croix Rouge Farm, and a similar statue located near Union Station in downtown Montgomery to honor the 167th Infantry from Alabama. There's a bridge in Birmingham named for their service in World War I. And Rainbow City, Alabama is named that because in World War I, the Alabama boys from the 167th, they were attached to the 42nd Infantry, the Rainbow Division. I got a picture on the wall of the office, in my office, of the men who served from Etowah County, Alabama, upon their return from World War I. And two of the men in that photo are wearing Distinguished Service Crosses on their uniform. That's second only to the Medal of Honor. They were legendary in battle. The 167th Infantry. General Plummer said of the Alabama boys, he said, by God, in a time of war, send me all the Alabamians you can find. Now, I've talked about them on the show before, but let me ask you this. Did you know that they played a part in securing our southern border over 100 years ago? So stand by for some history. You see, in 1916 and early 1917, the 4th Alabama was still a state militia, sort of a National Guard unit back then. But then came the border wars with Mexican bandit Pancho Villa, and the 4th Alabama was called up, federalized, and then permanently redesignated as the 167th Infantry. They participated in a nationwide call of National Guard units to federal service for guard duty along the U.S. border with Mexico in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. They were positioned there as part of the U.S.-Mexican Border Service, and after a raid on Columbus, New Mexico, by forces under the command of Mexican Revolutionary General Francisco Pancho Villa, they had to act. See, people forget that American communities were actually raided just over 100 years ago by Mexican bandits, and the Mexican government was no help. Pancho Villa, he led an army of about 1,500 guerrillas. They came across the U.S. border, staged a brutal raid against a small American town of Columbus, New Mexico, and Villa and his men killed 19 people and left the town in flames. President Wilson, he determined to destroy Pancho Villa, and he ordered General John Blackjack Pershing to lead 6,000 American troops into Mexico and capture Villa. Reluctantly at the time, Mexican President Carranza agreed to allow the U.S. to invade Mexican territory. So for nearly 2 years, Pershing and his soldiers chased the elusive Pancho Villa on horseback, in automobiles, and with airplanes. And the American troops had several bloody skirmishes with the rebels, and Alabama's 167th Infantry, formerly the 4th Alabama, was right there with them. The 167th Infantry then went basically from the Mexican border straight to the battlefields of World War I. Some say it was their time on the southern border that prepared the 167th for combat in Europe, and the hardships and the military order and discipline they got. The ability to shoot, move, and communicate. They became heroes, like I said earlier, on the European battlefield. But the larger picture here, and the reason why I tell that story, is that aside from acquainting you with a part of your own state history, was that there was a time when the federal government was willing to go to war to protect the southern border of the U.S. and to call the states to help, and the states answered. And some say the mobilization of the 167th actually became the catalyst for moving Alabama into the next century, as so many young men who had never been outside their own home counties now saw the whole world. They fought for freedom and they returned home with honor, and it started with their service on the Mexican border. See, American communities had been harmed and they were living under real threat, and it was seen then as an invasion. It was seen then as a destruction of the sense of security and sovereignty that every U.S. citizen has a right to expect their government to ensure. Armed intruder squatters, vandals, and thieves coming across our border. But back then, they were not welcomed. Back then, the idea of a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state was antithetical to common sense. Still is. And we resisted their efforts and we hunted them down. It's not been that way for the past 4 years. And don't misunderstand what I'm telling you as a desire to go to war with Mexico in the physical sense. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. We got to take it more serious than we have. There was a time when we did not look fondly on the idea of people coming across our border and having their way with our citizens. And yet, for the last 4 years, it's been an open-door policy. In what seems to be a blatant and really intentional effort to blur the lines of national borders, the Biden administration has failed to provide even a hint of care and concern that one should expect them to provide. So, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I'm pragmatic. I don't jump on conspiracy bandwagons. I look at facts. I assess, and I cannot deny what I am seeing. Taken into all context of all the actions and inactions of the Biden administration over the past 4 years, it makes the lack of security at our southern border appear to clearly be intentional. Right down to the fact that they even nominated someone to head up the Customs and Border Patrol who had a history of supporting sanctuary cities. VP Harris was named the border czar, never went to the border. Customs and Border Patrol officers were overwhelmed. States like Texas are having to take unilateral action. Actions which, by the way, often resulted in Texas then being sued by D.C. Federal aid to assist impacted communities, pretty much non-existent. Border wall construction stopped. And of course, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has taken no more crying photo ops because she doesn't want to bring attention to what her own people are doing. So if you, like me, actually care about what happens at your neighbor's house, then you got to agree with me that we must not sit idly by. We must venture across the property lines to assist our neighbor, because if the danger to your neighbor goes unchecked, eventually it comes to your house. We must secure that southern border, and I believe we will. We've done it before. We'll do it again, because without a border, you got to question whether we really have a nation. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.